because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Monday morning, February 4th, 2018. Lord's not making another one. Honor, did you get up and join us here this morning? I see we got about 30 people here in the queue this morning. Jared's probably going to let a few more of you in. Love for you to be part of it. If you're out there and you're watching, you watch it on, you know, we're really on a lot of different platforms. And you're just listening and you've always wanted to be part of it, we'd love for you to jump in here. And we love the comments. You know, we have lurkers. You know what lurkers are? We got those who just kind of lay out there and they're afraid to come in here and they don't really want anybody to know that they're part of it. Come on in, boys and girls. The water's fine. We'd love to have you be part of it. I guess this is kind of an informational Monday. If you hang in there with me, I got a lot of stuff I got want to talk about. A lot of stuff going on. I just got this feel. I don't want to sing again because I'm always singing on you. I don't sing very well, but something's happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. I'm just telling you. I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my bone. Remember that song? Love is all around it. Whatever. I used to be a music freak, I guess. We're living in crazy, 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 crazy times. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that seems as it is. And so much of what we've been taught is not true. And so much of what we haven't been taught leads us to greater truth. That's where I am with it. And I don't know how I got here. I don't know. Steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in our way. And I get up every morning and I come down and I have a list of things I want to talk about in the morning. But I try to let the Holy Spirit take control. So if you have complaints, take it up with him. Glad to have you all in here with us. Let me dive in here real quick to some stuff I think are really, really important. I'm going to come back to that. My wife told me Psalm 18 when I came down the steps. So I got to go there. But can I just take a little bit here on Monday morning and catch us up because I didn't do a very good job of that last week. Boy, we talked about some great stuff last week. Man, oh, man. Oh, crazy, crazy things going on. I want to pause right here a minute. Yeah, we're fasting. Thanks, Kevin. We did begin the fast last night. We did. My wife and I did. And I know many of you out there are joining us in the fast, and we're honored that you would do it. Remember, you have to fast at your own pace, all right? If you've never done it, set small goals and seek and try to work towards them. Let me tell you this. You do not get brownie points with the Lord by fasting. You're not scoring brownie points. In fact, it tells us that, and I believe it's Isaiah 60. It says, if you're just trying to fast just to get my attention, then you go, Isaiah 58, there it is, Jared, 58:5, where the Lord says, is this such a fast that I've chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? The Lord says, listen, if you're just fasting for attention or act like you're really sacrificing for me, he said, I ain't even interested in that. So here's what I try to never let the people I'm hanging around with know I'm fasting. I just don't. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. And now if you've never fasted, start with a meal, start with two meals, or you can do what Michelle said. Michelle fasts. Sweets. You're not going to eat any sweets. Whatever that would be. And remember this, if you fall off the wagon, the Lord's not mad at you. He doesn't put his hand down and say, No, just pick it back up and go where you can with it. There's some great benefits, physical benefits of fasting, although that's not why we do it. They say your entire immune system resets in 3 days. And that's a good thing. We are shooting to go for a week. We'll see where it goes from there. Don't feel that you have to. But I know that the last time we did a group fast like this, it was really had an impact. So we've already started drink fluids. That's my suggestion. Fluids, juices. So I'm going a water fast. No matter what, be drinking liquids, okay? Because your body on a fast, your body is getting rid of some impurities. It needs to be flushed out of your system. It's like you clean out your, you know, did you ever clean out the chimney? Get one of those chimney sweeps, you take that thing down and all that goop falls out of there. Part of that goes on when you do a fast. So I give yourself a lot of water to be able to clean yourself out. And we'll talk a little bit about our fast every day. Jared, pull up the schedule there, because I really neglected some of this last week, and I want to make sure we cover that here this morning. Sorry, folks, if this is boring. If you turned in for something hot, stay with me. We'll get to it. We're heading down to Panama City, Florida. Going to go down the – most people are heading in next Friday. I'm sorry, next Friday. Sunday, February 10th. We're going to be down there for a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and out again on Friday. It looks like we're going to have maybe 30, maybe 40 of us are going to come. If you can't go, if we'd love for you still to come. If you can't come, we would ask that you would help pay somebody else's way to be able to be down there. And it's great, as Chad would say, it's great church camp for adults. So we'd love for you to be part of that. Chad's having a great Texas Salt and Light Brigade assembly at his house on February 15th. That's next Friday. So those of you who aren't Panama City, you can go to Chad. Chad always does a great job with his huddles, and we'll talk more about that. Then we have a regional huddle, March 2nd, Bobby Lee. I don't know if Bobby's in here with us today, but mark that on your calendar, and we'll get Bobby in here at some point to talk to us a little bit more about it. Bobby's a rising star here on our Salt and Light Brigade team. We don't have stars, okay? But Bobby has really stepped up his game, and we're honored to have him be part of it. So we're going to be out in Allentown, PA on March 2nd, March 8th. Man, we're busy, aren't we? March 8th, we're going to be at Rob Pugh's Ministry Expo in Marshfield, Wisconsin. It's early where Rob is. Is he in here this morning? Is Ray in here to talk about it? I'll get Rob maybe tomorrow, get him in here live and talk to us a little bit about it. That's March 8th, 9th. We could click on that. Again, folks, this stuff's all on our website. You can go there. There it is. And Bradley Dean's going to be there. You guys know Bradley. You won't believe how big Bradley is. And then Dan Fisher, who ran for governor in Oklahoma, Mike Spaulding, Coach Dave, Doug Hagman, Lowell Howerton, Rob Pugh. It's a great event. A great event for those of you up in that area. That's March 8th and 9th. And again, I'll get Rob in there to talk a little bit more about that. Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas, March 28th through the 31st. Love to have a crew of you be able to get there to help us. We work the altars, we do baptisms. Love to put the guys on with the hats. I am willing to sponsor some folks to go. So if you listen out there, Salt and Light Brigade members, if you'd like to go to Dallas, email me. Say, Coach, I'd love to go, and we'll see what we can do to help you, lighten that load for you and be able to get that. It's March 28th through the 31st. I love to go there because that's our fishing hole. Those are people who've already been red pilled. And our job here at Coach Dave Live, Pastor Salt Ministries, is to wake these people up and get them in the game. We got to try to hook these fish and clean them up. We got, excuse me, I picked up Glenn from there, Todd Barham from there. I could go on. We've picked up a lot of people from Hear the Watchman. Karen Thomas, we picked her up from a Hear the Watchman conference. So March 28th through 31st. Big one, man. Occupy till I come. Now, oh, I should roll over and grab one of those. The video, listen, right now I have an offer. I'm going to throw this out there right now. If you come to the Occupy, if you go online right now, last year we charged $99. We've really tightened our belt. It's only $49 now to come to Occupy. It is going to be a boots on the ground extravaganza. Russ Dizdar, Tom Dunn, Mark Trump, David Arthur, Chad asked, we're going to train people to go out and walk out their faith. That Dr. Mike Spaulding, my buddy Mark Harrington, this is a hands-on event. We charged $100, $99 last year because our expenses are so great. We got to rent hotel rooms and the venue and yada, yada, yada. It's $49. Now, listen, here's something I'm going to throw out right now. And this is for anybody who goes in as long as they last. I think there's about 30 of them. I'm not sure. Anybody who goes on in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to say, at least till we run out of them, and signs up a five-year ticket for Occupy event, I will throw in free a DVD of last year's conference. Now, we charged, I think we had to charge $40 for just last year's CDs from the event that we held. We have some that are left over from last year. If you go on in the next few days and you register two of you, a husband and wife, you and a friend, we will send you free last year's DVD event. We'll throw that out there, Jared. I don't know how we can get that up on the website. After March 27th, it's going to become $70 because we want to meet our expenses. That's what we want to be. All right? Cool. Courtyard Marriott, Canton, Ohio, home of the Football Hall of Fame. This is going to be like nothing you've ever been to. Occupy 2019. Occupy till I come. All right? Scroll on down there. We got a huddle and a scrimmage on the 11th of May down in Louisville. Again, Bobby Lee is kind of hosting that thing, running that thing for us. Get that on your calendar if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area. On the 31st of May, hear the Watchman Conference on Long Island. We're going back to New York. June 14th is game day with Coach Dave. That's going to be our national event here, Boots on the Ground event. June 14th and 15th here at Buckeye Lake. This is going to be a fabulous thing again. And I think there's one more thing on there that we had to postpone the one we were talking about having one in Rochester, Minnesota. Just a few hurdles that we have to get over on that one. That one is currently on hold, so we pulled that one off. Oh yeah, Tim Tubra. We got one going out in Oregon. Regional huddle. June 22nd. We're gonna be in Oregon. My goodness. Gonna get some frequent flyer miles. I don't even know how those things work. But there it is. That's our schedule. Man, that's some stuff, isn't it? And we got some more stuff coming on. I was talking to Chad Estes. I don't know. Chad doesn't usually get in here on Monday mornings because of his sleep schedule. He works nights. And Chad said something to me that I thought was really kind of profound. I had a conversation with him the other day. He said, I just asked a simple question. He said, Coach, how many brigades do we have? And I ran down. I think there's five official ones that are out. And you know what he said? What the heck's wrong with all these other guys in the huddle? How come they haven't started a huddle? And I didn't really have an answer for it, other than there's a tendency for most of us to sit around and wait for somebody else to do it. And we got to get prepared. And we got some plans we're making. We'd love to come to your town, your community, get you involved. Okay, well, shut up, guys. 13 minutes. Anybody got a comment about anything in regards to what I just spoke about there? Tomorrow, 7:30 tomorrow, Steve from Think About It. Throw that up there, Jared. Click on Steve. Steve's going to join us. I'm going to have him. He's done a lot of research on. I'm going to let him talk about what he wants to. But Steve, there he is. When you're tired of the lies, think about it. Steve's going to talk to us about, hopefully, about the Nephilim and what really that whole thing was all about. He's got a fabulous website there, and he just doesn't get up very early. But he said, I'll be with you, Coach, at 7:30 tomorrow. So think about it. Steve's going to be with us. All right? I just got a lot of stuff. Hang in there with me, okay? Today, Jared, go to Austin, Texas today. I feel bad because I haven't really been on top of this as much as I want to. In Austin, Texas today, Rusty.
Hi,
Thomas,
I'm Elizabeth.
Freeze that. Thank you, Jared. I'm going to play that video here of Elizabeth Johnson. But they're delivering some petitions today down in Austin, Texas to the governor, trying to hold the governor accountable for saying that he was going to end abortion as part of Jeremiah's wish. And this is about a 2-minute and 38 second video that Elizabeth Johnston made about how you can help with the petition, yada, yada, all that stuff. And a lot of things I could say about this and the importance of this. But go ahead and play this video real quick from Elizabeth.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, and I'm the activist mommy. We have an unprecedented opportunity in our nation right now. I want to tell you about a young man named Jeremiah Thomas. Jeremiah was a dear friend of our families, and he was suddenly struck with cancer when he was 16 years old. Now, the Make-A-Wish Foundation gave Jeremiah an opportunity to ask really for anything he wanted. And do you know what this 16-year-old young man asked for from the Make-A-Wish Foundation? He asked for an opportunity to speak with the Texas governor, Governor Greg Abbott, to ask Governor Abbott to end abortion in the state of Texas. Well, this meeting did take place over the phone as Jeremiah sat in the hospital bed dying of cancer. In this important phone call between Governor Greg Abbott and Jeremiah Thomas, Governor Abbott promised Jeremiah that he would make abolishing abortion a priority this next legislative session. You should have seen the look on Jeremiah's face of joy when he felt, yes, his wish had been granted. Yes, abortion would be abolished in the state of Texas. We only have a few more days left, a very short window for this to be accomplished, because the governor is setting the legislative agenda right now in the next few days. And once the legislative agenda is set for the state of Texas, no new bills will be introduced. Guys, the timing is perfect for this right now. A perfect storm of righteous anger is brewing because of the terrible infanticide law that just was passed in the state of New York. The Republican platform in Texas says that they will abolish abortion. It's time to hold them to their own platform. Texas is the largest and most economically prosperous red state in our country. If Texas leads the way, there could be a domino effect throughout our country to end abortion state by state by state. Governor Abbott made a promise to a dying boy. Now it's time for him to keep his word. Please, I'm pleading with you on behalf of the Thomas family and on behalf of the overwhelming majority of Texans who want to see abortion abolished in their state. Would you please go to jeremiahswish.com and sign that important petition and click share on this video with the hashtag Jeremiah's Wish. Thank you and God bless.
So that's the way I understand. I just jumped on Rusty's website here, Jared. This is going down today. They want to go. Listen, you got your yay be yay and your nay be nay, right? The governor said he was going to do it, and we need to bring pressure on Governor Abbott to do so. Jared has it up there on the screen right now. Excuse me. I'm not a big petition guy. Petitions are important. Petitions have to happen. But folks, when is our side going to begin to push back in regards to state rights? We saw what New York just did in regards to abortion. The state made the determination, okay, we're going to kill them up to this age. We saw Connecticut's following suit. It looks like Virginia's getting ready to, although that guy's receiving all kinds of flack down there, which is really, really good. Why can't Texas say, no, we're not going to kill babies? Why can't Iowa say, no, we're not going to kill babies here? Why is our side always so far behind the loop? So afraid to stand up and push. Why are we afraid to do that? Why are we afraid to do that? Why won't Governor Abbott? Is there something more sinister going on than what we understand? Is there a reason that we don't really understand why the Republicans won't end abortion? Is there something deeper going on? I think there is.
Yes, Coach.
Yeah. Help. What is it, man? What is the deeper issue that's going on here? See, I don't think either side. Well, we could get down into it. I don't think either side wants to end abortion because there's too much money being made off of the murder of unborn babies. That's the way I see it. That's what I think it is. Both sides are making it. I think about all the. You know, we did the show last week on vaccines, on food additives, on what they do with little baby parts. We did all that stuff. And there's too much money being made on both sides of it. But we would hope the people in Texas would stand up and protect little babies. I hear somebody.
Hey, come on.
Yes.
You know, here's what we don't know. Well, here's what we know. We know that there's probably just as many Republicans involved in this wicked, evil agenda as there are Democrats. And here's what we don't know. We don't know to what extent Greg Abbott is involved in it or not. We hope he's not. And we hope politically, even if he is involved at some level, that enough pressure can be put on, which that's where we, the people, need to rise up.
Well, that's right, man. Listen, folks, we are – I was talking to somebody this weekend. I don't remember who it was. Doesn't matter. Do you have any idea? Do you really have any idea how deep that deep state is? Do you understand how much even Donald Trump himself is surrounded by alligators? I don't know if he's an alligator. I don't know what he is. I don't know. But do you have any idea what he's probably surrounded with? Do you have any idea the tentacles of vested interest that people have in what's going on in Washington, D.C., and the powerful forces behind the scenes that are making that are pulling the strings? Yeah, we don't have any idea. And I get frustrated like everybody else that we want to see perp walks. Where are the perp walks? I'm just telling you, I think this thing is so evil and deep and multifaceted. Hey, boys and girls, it's in our state government. Folks, it's in our local government. There is corruption everywhere you look. And the farther up the scale you go, how do you think Hillary Clinton could possibly get to be president of the United States? How could anybody become president of the United States? All that power, somebody push it to the top and not have strings attached to it. And the love of money is the root of all evil. We got to understand what's going on. We got to pray more for our president. Pray that the Lord's will would be done. Folks, this is so simple in my mind. If Trump is a fraud, we're done anyway. We're done anyway. And if we're counting on QAnon and you go through all those, it ain't none of it matters. It comes down to this. If he is a fraud, our goose is cooked anyway. And if he's a fraud and our goose is cooked, then you better get ready locally to try to push back and defend as long as you can. Does anybody disagree with that? And rather than us coming on here and saying, well, Trump ought to be doing this, I agree with it, but I ain't Trump. I ain't Trump. Hey, I don't know what he's dealing with. I think it's massive what he's dealing with. Yes, sir. Come on in.
I was just going to say, like George always says, politics starts locally because that's where it all starts. And, you know, we may not be able to do anything about what's going on up in Washington, but we can do something about what's going on in our local areas.
That's right. And some of you guys are doing that, right? You guys are going to go to city council. Is that true?
City council. A group of us going to go to city council on Wednesday, I believe. And I think you have to sign up to speak or something like that. And we're going to go. The plan is to go towards the end of the meeting and talk about the city supporting murder with abortion.
That's right. So, Paul, listen, folks, this is critical. Paul and George, and I don't know who all is going with them. See, we don't speak up. I was thinking about this today. I'll tap JR give him a little tap on the head here this morning. You guys write letters to the editor? Do you guys do that? Because, see, here's the truth. Our voice, we're voiceless. We are the silent majority, they tell us. We're the silent majority. And we're more silent than we are the majority. And part of what we have to do is we have to be seed planters. We have to be Johnny Appleseed. Do you write letters to the editor? Do you write letters, private letters, to your pastor? Do you gig your pastor? Those people who are in positions of authority, are they hearing from you or are they only hearing from the other side? I would say this, they're probably only hearing from the other side. That's what I would, you know. Listen, I get gobs of emails, people I don't know. And then I run into places and I put an eyeball with it. Oh, and then it matters, man. It matters. Yeah, Vic.
There was an article on Saturday from The Sun. And what I'm going to tell you, this thing has a double-faceted agenda. Supposedly there was a little girl that committed suicide because of her social media. So the government in England, they're trying to go ahead and do something about this girl's death. Now, the hypocrisy of this whole deal is the focus is on the little girl, yet they're letting all these millions of babies die, you know, and nobody's saying anything about that. So now what they're trying to do, the UK government is urging everybody to go ahead and restrict your children's social media time down to 2 hours. Well, and that there's another agenda hidden in that, because now they want to control the internet. So you see, they control the internet, but yet they don't control the killing and the spilling of the blood. The spilling of the blood, that's the power that these people hunger for. That's what it's all about.
Vic, they created the internet to control the people. And now that they've got control of the people, they want to control the internet again. It's a vicious cycle, folks. And whether we can understand it or not, we're really, really, really seriously programmed. Bear with me a second here. I watched the Super Bowl last night. I didn't care who won. I couldn't have cared less. Although Tom Brady, 6 Super Bowls. Pittsburgh won 6, and we're proud. He won 6 himself. Pretty amazing, really. But I watched that halftime show. I watched the commercials. Are you kidding me? The programming in those commercials in that halftime show, daisy criminy. What? Turn off your TVs. Turn off your TVs, all right? Turn off your TVs. There's unbelievable programming that's going on. I want to show you something here. Hey, look, I feel like I'm all over the place. Bear with me. It's been a weekend, right? And I've had a weekend spent. I've been spending the weekend with me. Hey, Jared, click on the email. It says, let's go ahead. The Planned Parenthood budget email. Jared, I sent that to you as a separate, okay? Planned Parenthood budget. I hope I sent it to you. Let's see if I did. Yeah, I did. Folks, I want you to look at this on the screen. And we're wondering why they won't end abortion, right? Why won't they end abortion? Now, I got this. This is Planned Parenthood releases their new annual report, finances. Look at this. Over the March for Life weekend, Planned Parenthood Federation of America released its 2017-2018 annual budget a year ago. The report contained a great deal of information on the organization's finances and its services. Remember this, the federal government is financing Planned Parenthood, all right? In the first part of the discussion, we look at the finances. The services will be the topic of part two coming next month. Planned Parenthood's reporting on its finances done for its fiscal year for its annual report was July 1st, 2017. So it's almost a year old, all right? It's already almost a year old. So here it is. The basic income and profit from the 2018 report is, look at this, their income. Planned Parenthood got $563 million from the government. Hey, boys, that's some big money there, buddy. There are a lot of people involved in that $563 million on both sides of the aisle. Number two, they received $630 million in donation. Hang on. Then they get non-government clinic income. That's a code word for abortions they perform. $365 million they got for that. Other, we don't even tell us what that is, $104.8 million. Total income, $1.665. Jared, does that say what I think it says? My screen went dark. Or your screen went dark. What happened? $1.665 million. That can't be mil. That's got to be billion, doesn't it? $1.6 billion. Hey, there's some big money attached to abortion. Don't think there isn't. And they made a profit of $244.8 million. If they're making $244.8 million, why are we giving them $563 million? Report says the organization had an income of $1.67 billion. That's $205 million increase over the previous year. Yeah, abortions are going down, right? Record taxpayer income of $563 million was the highest in history. And as a result, Planned Parenthood actually saw an increase of $20 million from the government. And it now gets $1.5 $1.5 million a day from the taxpayers. Unbelievable.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
A lot of those too, the private donations is for like organizations like United Way, stuff like that. If you give to that, a lot of times that money's going to Planned Parenthood very you know, sneakily, but it does. And so when you see your job talking about United Way giving and all that, remember, that's where a lot of that money's going to.
That's exactly right. That's why if I was ever going to give any money to any charity, it'd be Pass the Salt, because we're trying to fight this stuff. And isn't it amazing? Hey, folks, listen to me. You are, when you pay your taxes, and then you go out and stand in front of Planned Parenthood, and you do what Rusty Thomas is doing, and you do what Elizabeth Johnson is doing, and you raise little nickels and dimes to try to go fight abortion. You understand that you're being shot with the bullets that you bought. You bought the bullets for Planned Parenthood, and they're shooting them back at you. And we're raising little bits of money going to try to get them, please stop funding. And can I tell you? The church doesn't care. The church doesn't want to end abortion. I'm going to say that again real slow. The church doesn't want to end abortion. Or it'd be over. It would be over. So this is what we're dealing with. Now, I want to direct you to something else, because there's a lot of good things going on. Jared, go to Day of Mourning. This is good.
Hey, Coach.
Yes,
Denny. It's $630 million they're donating. Who are they donating to?
Help me here, Mark.
I don't know. I don't know. Where does an evil organization like that donate their money?
To the evil politicians.
Oh, I get what I got you. Oh, go back to that, Jared. I got you, Mark. Okay. Now, those are donations coming to them, Mark. Those are donations coming into them, and then they divvy that money out. See, folks, they have $1.65 million, and they are funding it out the back door to politicians.
That governor of Virginia received approximately $2 million from Planned Parenthood.
That was over like 3 or 4 years. That's right.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Actually, now, guys, it was $3
million. $3 million. Whatever, a bunch of million, right, guys? Come on now. Let me. Hey, Don Davidson, I understand if we. Do you think, Don, that we can get everybody to quit paying taxes? Do you think we can get everybody to quit paying taxes? I agree with you. The first 100 people who stop paying taxes are going to get arrested, then the next 1,000 will be scared. Hey, they won't do it.
Hey, I'll stop for 3 years. We can do extensions. I'll do it.
Okay, well, then Don, that's what Don says he wants to have done, says he has a plan to do it. Don, get in here sometime and come in and talk to us and tell us what it is. Just quit. Stop putting it in the chat. You know, everybody wants to. You want us to contact you? Well, come in. Tell us what you want us to do. Jared, let's go to. Broke my concentration. Go back, Jared. Go back. Yeah, thank you, Jared. Now, listen. God bless Elizabeth Johnston. God bless her. She's a personal friend of I'm telling you, a personal friend, the activist mommy. God bless Elizabeth Johnson. God bless Elizabeth Johnson. But I want you to understand that we are trying to fight back against abortion with the money we've supplied to the abortion industry. Folks, are you getting the picture? We are funding Planned Parenthood and then trying to raise money to stop it. We are so pathetic. We are so pathetic. And I'm not making fun of anything that Elizabeth's trying to do or anything Rusty's trying to do. I'm not. Wouldn't it be a good idea if we stopped funding them? Wouldn't that be a good idea? And why is that not a push? Why is that not a push? If they want to murder babies, let them pay for it. Let them pay for it. No, was it? No. Okay, so here's the Day of Mourning. Day of Mourning. And God bless Elizabeth. February 23rd. Coming up here in, 3 weeks? It's going to be a Day of Mourning. You can go on this website and they're going to go to Albany, New York, which is where the Capitol is. They've got the Empire State Plaza Convention Center. They're renting that and they're having a program. God bless them. They're having the Benham brothers. I love the Benham brothers. Those are Flip Benham's sons. They're on the cutting edge. They're great guys. I'm not besmirching anybody, all right? I'm not. God bless David and Jason Benham. God bless those guys. God bless Elizabeth Johnston, who's going to go speak. God bless you, Elizabeth, for what you're doing. Justin Reeder, God bless you, Justin Reeder. God bless you, David Harris. God bless you. God bless you guys that are standing up and pushing back forward. But aren't we fighting our own? Aren't we fighting our own stuff? Aren't we? We're buying Planned Parenthood the bullets. And then we show up with a little tin, we carry our own little tin cup, and we try to raise my up. Am I overreacting? Can somebody help me here? So you go to Days of Mourning and go to the website. There it is, dayofmourning.org. And they got a lot of great stuff. You can do it right where you live. You can have a protest right where you live. You can wear black. You cannot shop. They want businesses to close down. Good. It's all good. I'm not being critical. Please, I'm not being critical. Why don't we make them stop giving money to Planned Parenthood? What about all these Republicans we put into power? Somebody help me here. I'm swimming in muck.
Hey, Coach, the right question maybe is what percentage of Virginia's taxes go towards this? What percentage of our federal taxes goes towards it? Couldn't we do a Freedom of Information Act request and find out what percentage of our pay at our tax bracket goes towards it, and then just not give that? And then whenever they come to us, we explain why.
Mark, I'm with you, but here, listen, folks, tax protests, people are scared to do it. They are afraid to do it. I understand why. I don't know, Mark. Don Davidson says he has a plan. Well, what's the plan, and how do we get thousands and hundreds of thousands of people to do it? How do we do it? That's a whole show in itself.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Vic.
What about Owen Schroyer? He was supposed to have a springtime Planned Parenthood abortion back there in Texas again.
I emailed him. I haven't heard
back.
Oh,
you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yeah. See, that's another thing. We don't play well together. We don't play well together. And I understand, because I run a ministry, can I tell you the truth? For many people, we're trying to keep the lights on. I'm not trying to keep the light. We're okay. We're stopped. Our foundation is good here at Pastor Saul. But a lot of ministries are trying to keep the lights on. And so therefore, in order to keep the lights on, they have to promote what they are doing so that they can get money to keep the lights on. So as a result, there's a tendency to do your own thing. These are not bad people. They're not evil people. But we don't play together. Because we don't play together very well, because we're worried that somebody else might get the credit and some of my donors might give money to them. And in the meantime, this behemoth we're fighting against has $1.6 billion. And I'm trying to get 100 people to give me 50 a month, try to in some way counteract it. You with me? See what I'm talking about here? And so we look at all the power that we have and all the power that we have, all the money that we have. Can I tell you? Oh, well, I'll tell you. Do you know where the money's gone? It's gone to the churches. And can somebody tell me what the churches are doing with the money? Well, they're certainly not getting involved with politics. Okay, Lord, I'm going to get on that horse. Don't send me one more email about the seven mountains that I'm one of those guys. I'm a plant, that I'm an agent of the, what do they call those guys? I'm an agent of the Vatican. I'm an agent of the Jesuits. And it's the seven mountains that God never said we're supposed to build a kingdom here on earth. And folks, listen, I'm just saying babies shouldn't die. Babies shouldn't die. I don't want a Christian government, although that would be certainly be a lot better than we are. I don't want a Christian government. I just want babies to be able to live. And I want children to be able to be taught right from wrong. And I want people in office who operate according to a system of ethics and values. That's what I want. I ain't trying to build those seven mountains. And the response from all of you sending me those stinking emails is you don't do anything except sit back and watch it all happen and think somehow God's being glorified in the fact that your hands are clean because you're not involved with politics. Meantime, they're eating your kids.
Amen, Coach. Amen. Amen,
brother. Your neighbor's kids are going to hell. And you want to attack us because Seven Mountains Movement. I'm telling you, it makes me want to barf.
It's worse than that, Coach. One of the presidential candidates whored her way into office with Willie Brown, Kamala Harris. I mean, this is public knowledge. So, you know, I mean, she still can stand in front of us and run for public office and try to talk about Trump, which is amazing.
Hey, Vinny, that makes her front runner with the Democrats.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a badge of honor. See, here's the point that I'm trying to make. Maybe I'm not making a good point up. Maybe I'm not. We are funding, folks, we're funding the opposition. We're funding the opposition. And then we try to raise nickels off of what money we have left, the bondages they put us in with this godforsaken taxation. We got to raise nickels to try to find this type of government that we're funding.
Yeah, well, maybe since Planned Parenthood is getting into the budget, maybe we ought to attack the legislators. Maybe that's the point of attack.
Well, that's what I said. Why go to Planned Parenthood? Every time I go to Planned Parenthood, they raise money off of it. Every time I go. And Donald Trump's already said he would defund Planned Parenthood, but he's waiting for an amen from the church, and he ain't getting one. He ain't getting one. And Elizabeth, okay. She tries to do a day of mourning, and Rusty's sacrifice, son gets sacrificed for the movement. Church is involved. They won't. I mean, it's like unbelievable where we are. Yes, Glenn. Sure. I think that was Glenn. Okay. Larry, whoever, somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's a great, this Occupy thing you're having there in Ohio is so appropriate for this date and time. Because when you look at, and this is not my figuring out this, Jim Harrison figured this out. You look at what is really happening in the United States. Occupying a country after you win a war isn't just sitting there. It is being there and pushing your values and your agenda in that country.
We are occupied. We are occupied by the humanists. They are the government.
The United States of America is occupied by Satan and his agenda. And if we don't push back, shame on us.
Larry, can I ask? I'm going to ask a question here. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to put my microphone right here for this one. Can somebody give me one reason why you would give a nickel to your local church?
I can tell you I don't.
I'm asking somebody out there. Can somebody tell me why they would give a nickel? Oh, boy, I should have brought that up. I got Jared, go back a couple days on stuff. Jared, do you archive stuff that I send you? Like yesterday's stuff? Is that archived, Jared? Because I want you to go back. Let me bear with me, folks. I want you to see something here. I'm all over the place. I apologize. I got Psalm 18. I wanted to get to. Hang on. I'm going to find it for you, Jared, and I'll tell you where it is. It is. No. Might be that one. Is that it? Let me see. Jared, go to. Jared, go to. What day is this? I sent this to you on February 1st, Jared. February 1st. Sent you stuff. And at the bottom of that stuff, Jared, it says, where does the money go? Where does the money go? See if you can pull that up there, Jared. Did you find it, bud? Not did you pull it up. Did you find it? There. Oh! Here's why we lose. Hey, listen, I don't care if you don't give me a nickel. I couldn't care less, okay? I don't matter. It don't matter. I'm not, this is not poor woe is us, please support us. New study reveals where large churches spend their money. You want to know the truth? You go to those big mega churches, you go to Joel Osteen, all those, you want to go where it all goes? Well, here you go. Where does the money go, Jared? Well, results of a combined research study, yada, yada, yada. $800 the church 52-year-old senior was hired. I got this. I'm sorry. When I get angry, I talk too fast. Nearly half of large churches spend between 39 and 52% of their annual budget on that. These churches maintain every 51 to 90 attendees. Folks, this is research done. This is just isn't my opinion. And salaries are most impacted by church size, with the pastor's age of the church, theology, and race often negligible impact. Salary of the senior pastor makes up 3.4% of the church's budget. This is at least 30% higher than the next highest paid church employee. Go on down, Jared. The majority of large churches measure total attendance and giving according to their budget. Keep on going down, Jared. Keep going. I'll just put this, let you read it. Read it and weep. Read it and weep. Warren Bird, director of leadership, network comment in the study report that churches would do well to consider children's ministry a key strategy in growing the congregation. The most strategic churches we work with are realizing that a premier children's pastor leader can become one of, if not the largest growth engines for the church. I think about Mike Spaulding. Mike Spaulding, Pastor Mike in here today, because I'm beating up on pastors. Pastor Mike Spaulding probably can't come in here because he's working a job. Pastor Dale Socia probably isn't in here, or if he is in here, he's on his way to his job. He's on his way to his job. How can Dale Socia, how can he pastor a church and work a job? I thought he's got two full-time jobs, evidently. How can Mike Spaulding be a pastor and work a job? How does that work out? Huh? How does that work out? You mean he's got two full-time jobs? Something wrong, boys. Something wrong, I think. People are quiet out there. Somebody, Pastor Mike, can you come in here? I don't know if he can come in here or not. Pastor Dale, can you come in here? What the heck? Pastor Mike, what are you doing working a job? You're a pastor. Yeah, George.
Well, you know, Pastor Mike and Pastor Dale's sermons probably aren't as good as the megachurch pastors because they don't have all week to prepare for them.
Yeah, well, not only that, George, Pastor Mike, he's lost weight. Maybe now he can get into some skinny jeans and maybe he'll get more people coming. He's slimmed down a little bit. Think that would work, Pastor Mike? Do you understand what's going on? Mark Harrington, my friend Mark Harrington, told me when I got into this battle, however many years ago it was, 20 years ago, Mark Harrington said something I'll never forget. He said the left gives money to causes, Planned Parenthood, gay agenda. Churches, Christians give money to their churches. And the churches then become a jobs program. And they become a business. And they don't fight. Because why? Because the people who are donating to them maybe don't like the fact that they fight. Somebody rescue. Can anybody rescue me here today?
We love our life. We love our life too much, Coach.
We do, Randy.
The American Revolution was won by men who they gave their fortune. They gave their entire livelihood to finance their cause. They laid down their life, their farms, everything they had worked for years to win the cause. Coach, when we're willing to lay down our livelihood, our life, our control, this, things will change. But until we're ready to pull out of the system and make that move, we're just all talk.
Jared, amen, Randy. Jared, stay in that same one. Go down, Jared, to where it says, giving stats. It's right in the middle. Giving stats. Are you guys ready for this? Are you ready for this? Yes.
Oh.
Go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say, you know, you're talking about the tax part. Maybe we should look at as believers, not give to our local churches, start giving to ministries and causes that are doing things.
That's what I said. That's what I'm saying. Okay, look at this, folks. This is another one. 21 fascinating tithing statistics. Look at this. Only 3.5% of Americans give to the local church and do so through regular tithing. Are you ready? You sitting down? In 2000, American evangelicals collected $2.6 trillion in income. American church. $2.6 trillion in 2000. That's 1 year. Total Christian income in the United States is $5.2 trillion annually. Nearly half of the world's total. Oh, my goodness. Total Christian income. Hang on. Over the next 50 years, it's predicted that between $41 trillion and $136 trillion will pass from older Americans to younger generations. $1 trillion to $3 trillion in wealth will change hands every year within the Christian community. When surveyed, 17% of Americans state that they regularly tithe. 17%. For Christian families making less than $20,000 per year, 8% of them gave at least 10%. Hey, how much does the government take, Don? How much does the government take in tithe? When families making a max minimum of $75,000 or more, the figure drops just to 1%. You have 1%. 3 out of 4 people who don't go to church make donations to nonprofit organizations. Red Cross. 3 out of 4 people who don't go to church give money to things other than the church. 3 out of 4. And that ain't good. I can promise you that ain't good. I promise you that ain't good. The average donation by adults who attend U.S. Protestant churches is $17 a week. 1 in 3 U.S. American Christians say that it's impossible for them to get ahead in life because of the debt that they've incurred. And why they've incurred debt? Because they're giving 35% of their income to the government. If Christians followed Old Testament standards of giving across the board, then $139 billion would become available every year for additional ministry work. 37% of people who attend church every week, I identify themselves as evangelical, don't give any money to church. 17% of American families have reduced the amount that they give to the local church in some way. 7% have dropped regularly given by more than 20%. In total, about 10 million tithers in the United States donate $50 billion annually to the church and other nonprofit causes. 77% of those who tithe give 11 to 20% more of their income, far more than based on the 97% of Christians who tithe make it a top financial priority to give to their local church. For what? 7 out of 10 tithes do so based on the gross income and not the net income. People are more likely to practice tithing when they begin practicing their teens or their 20s. People who tithe regularly typically have less debt than other demographics. 35% of those who do tithe have a net worth or will be bequested as valued at more than $500,000. Out of the top 10 places where tithers put their money, the least likely demographic that they would give money is children and orphans. Wow. Okay, I could go on and on. See, so where's the money go? Where's the money go? Is it any wonder we're losing? The money that goes to the church is consumed by the church. Somebody say amen. The money given to the church is consumed by the church.
For the majority, but not the minority, Coach.
I got you, Dale. I got you. Where am I missing it here, Dale? Am I missing it?
For the majority, no. It's kind of like going into a doctor's office and he says, look, I got an 80-90% curing cancer. I got a 20% chance. You're going to jump on the 80%. But sometimes that 80% don't work and the cure is in the 20%. Brother, my church is the 20%. We just had our annual financial meeting. We had to close the books for the little thing. You know, it's a little church. So when we sat down and we put all the monies down and we're doing our boat, brother, last year, our church, just in missions, so we tithe. So you say, why give to the local church? Because our local church gives to Pass the Salt Ministry. Not only Pass the Salt Tree, we split our missions up two ways. We split it up worldwide, so we have them outside of the U.S. border. But then we have them with inside of the U.S. border. You know what I'm saying? 20%.
Let me ask you a better question, Dale. How many staff do you have?
How many what? That's a funny question.
And Dale, you work? You work in Coach?
Listen, Coach, we gave 20% of our gross church income last year off the top into missions. Just that's the start of what we did. We do our missions outside. Now, here's the question that was asked to me. This is years ago. Two things. First off, I've never stopped my service. We do not pass a basket. We don't stop it and do like a tithe, an offertory.
before he signed. We don't do any of that. We haven't done that since the year 2000. We stopped doing that. People want to give, there's an offering basket at the cross. That's it. We don't ask for money. We don't put that in our bulletins. We don't do any of that. We function. And so a question was brought to me one time from this guy who used to attend our church, was actually before I became the pastor, was his youth pastor. And the question was, why are we going to tie this money out to the missions if we can't afford you as a pastor? I said, because if you could afford me as a pastor, you can't afford the missions. And I said, the missions are going to get paid first. End of story. So that's why I'm a working pastor.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, God bless you, Dale. God bless you.
You know,
and see, again, folks, the
problem, I know you're not talking about the few, the proud, the Marines, you know, like Mike and myself.
Right. There are others. There are others. We know there are. Pastor Bill Dunphy, he's Bible. Coach. I understand that. Yes.
Amen, Pastor Dale.
Hey, Coach.
So they consume all of their money. The church consumes all the money. Very little of it goes out. Bless you, Dale. Yeah, somebody come in. Is that Jim? Who's coming in? Come on in.
Yeah, it's me. It's Mike. Couldn't stay in the huddle. I had bad connection today, so I just dialed in. But okay. Just echo and ditto what Dale said. It's exactly the way that we do it. I don't draw a salary, never have. And you already know this, Coach, because we've chatted about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a great job. The Lord's provided for us, my family, and so on. So we've never looked to the church for that. And we sow it into local and global missions. I don't want to say tithe, because we go beyond tithing. We go beyond 10%, but we sow back into organizations that are carrying on the mission. And plus, the other thing I want to add, Coach, is this. Not that our church polity is set up this way, because I'm not answerable to a board. I'm answerable to God.
Amen.
God called me to be a shepherd of people.
Amen.
Not to be answerable to a board of men or women that are going to run me. And so,
when
there's
Mike,
no salary, there's no leverage, right?
That's right. Go. No salary, no leverage. That's right, brother.
Hey, Mike, yep. I told my finance committee team that yesterday. I said, the finance committee is basically for oversight to make sure that we're doing things right with other people's money. I said, but it cannot control my heart or the pastor's, because I'm the same thing. It's like, you can't control what I'm preaching, because I'm not worried about whether you're going to give or not.
Amen.
Right, Coach? Because that's why most of them do that.
There's the door. Coach. There's the door, baby. Get out of here. Get right.
I can't tell you how many times I've made that statement, Coach and Pastor Dale. It's like, listen, there's no ball and chain around your ankle. Nobody's keeping you here. If you don't like it, there's a door.
Amen. Hey, listen.
It's because the church is running a business.
Oh, come on. Listen, I'm about out of time now. I've flipped over. I didn't get into the scriptures much today, but this has been on my heart. Okay. This has been on my heart. I'm going to tell you this. You ought to all be giving someplace. You ought to be giving someplace. You ought to have a life of giving. But if you think that you are advancing the kingdom by paying a mega pastor's salary, dude, there is something seriously wrong with you. There's something seriously wrong. And God bless Dale, and God bless Mike Spaulding, and God bless Pastor Bill. There's, I know there are many guys that are out there slaving, working hard, doing whatever they want to. And so I would say to those of you who are giving your money to your church, why? 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 What's going on other than salary?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, go ahead.
We're going over to the clinic in Westerville this Saturday. Be there at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. That new one that just recently opened up. I've got right now two working pastors going to be there with me. I've got two more working pastors I'm shooting for to get there. My goal is four working pastors, and I'll bet they all show up. We're going to bring a crowd over there to the Westerville area to that clinic. Anybody that's interested.
Great, Jeff. It would be really good to get some of those non-working pastors out there, wouldn't it? A bunch of them.
That's a brother. That's going to be harder.
Yeah. I make friends. How to win friends and influence people. Hey, folks, I'm sorry. We didn't get into the scriptures. This is all good stuff here. Read Psalm 18 today. Maybe we'll pick on that tomorrow. 7:30 tomorrow. Steve, think about it. Steve's going to be with us at 7:30. We'll be here bright and early. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.
Amen.